own Nerd Watch Oscar edition. That's right. The Oscars was this past week, and it is now our time to analyze, criticize, and give what we think were the best pictures of the year. I am joined by the one and only Collector Jay this morning, along with Professor Barry, four men in the house. I, of course, am G-Money. We are down a man, or a woman. Amber, a.k.a. Digit, is not in studio today, not at Nerdwatch HQ. She is taking care of business. She's got other things to deal with today, so she'll be out, but she will be represented fairly amongst the men because she sent me her top 10 list of the best pictures for her, and she also sent me her Netflix pick of the week. So, first off, format, how has your week been?
It's very been pretty busy.
That's what I heard. I mean, you got a lot of stuff on our Nerdwatch Facebook page now.
Yes.
You have been making friends, watching movies, and interviewing local comic book artists.
Indeed.
So, what was that like?
It was very enlightening. There was a lot of insight that he gave coming from someone doing it for the first time, trying to break into the business. It was actually a very cool interview. The guy is very down to earth.
And what's his name?
Christopher Carvalho.
And he is he has a Kickstarter campaign that he started for his comic called Amakua, Guardians of Hawaii.
Correct.
Man, so they can read that interview on Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch.
Yep.
And he's still, matter of fact, you said that he's working on the second book?
Correct.
Right now, and he sold out of the first one already.
Yes.
Wow. That's insane. So this guy is in love with comics. He's reviving the comic book genre, one that apparently didn't exist in Hawaii. So you've got Hawaiian ancestry in comic books now because of him.
For the most part, yeah.
That's really cool. What else have you been doing other than that? Interviewing
local stars? Movie reviews and watching movies. And
I saw RoboCop went up. Your review of the new RoboCop went up. That's cool. That's cool. What else have you had? What else is in the queue for you?
There's a few. There's a few things that I'm working on.
Sweet.
Let's see. I did the To Be To K documentary. I did a review on that. Put that up.
What is that one?
It's a documentary following and based on George Takei.
Oh, To Be Takei.
Yes.
I thought you said TBK.
No.
My bad. All right. To Be Takei. Got it. I wanted to see that.
It's actually very good.
Okay, cool.
Very fun.
Awesome. And what else did you got? Anything else exciting in there?
A few things here and there, but you'll see it all on the Nerdwatch page.
Fantastic. So look for format. Look for Format's articles and his reviews on Facebook.com/Nerdwatch. Collector Jay, you've been busy building, apparently. You haven't been watching very many movies or reading.
I saw the last half of American Sniper
first
time.
So you saw the last half of American Sniper. Let's before we get into what you've made, what did you think of the last half of American Sniper?
Did you see the first half?
I did not. I stopped in the I stopped into the movie theater because we actually use it as a facility on Sunday for something we do for church. And I needed something out of storage. And it just so happened that the movie that was playing in storage, or where the storage is at, was American Sniper. And so I had to get it, and it was either come back in an hour or go in and see
just
the last half.
Just sit and watch the movie.
So I went and watched the movie instead of...
And?
What did you think? It was really good. It actually made me, you know, thinking of our past discussion, it made me wonder what... Because we were talking about PTSD and what services are offered to spouses and friends and family of those suffering from PTSD.
Right.
Because the wife needed some help.
Oh, yeah, she did.
She needed some help on how to deal with it. So it was very well done. I really enjoyed it. I'm definitely going to see it. I'll probably wait until it comes out on DVD or Blu-ray so I can watch it in the quietness of my own home. Although it looked like I think I had there's only about 5 or 6 Vietnam veterans in there watching it with me. Mm. So it was a pretty small crowd.
Yeah, and so you'll watch it again.
Of course.
I think the military is doing a very proactive, as far as the women.
I'm sure they are.
They're becoming very proactive in that space, which is very smart anyway. So let's get back to what's even more important than watching American Sniper. You were busy building an immense monolith to Marvel. You got in Lego form the helicarrier from the Avengers. How did that go?
It actually went surprisingly fast.
Really?
I built it in one session. I spent about an hour on it the first night, but then it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, so I was like, I'll finish this tomorrow.
Wow.
So overall, it only took me about 6 hours to do.
Wow.
When you consider 3,000 pieces, it's pretty massive. I thought it was going to take a lot longer because the Batmobile tumbler took me longer than that to do.
Wow.
And it had half as many pieces. It went by really fast, a little repetitive for me because it's basically symmetrical and you have four of the same thing. But they have these new little minifigures with it that are pretty cool. But overall, it was a fun build, and it looks really nice.
And your pictures of it went up on our Facebook
page. Just one. I haven't taken any good pictures yet. I'm going to set it up in the studio and whatnot. But I do have a battery pack and some lights coming that will actually make the rotors spin on their own and light up.
That's hilarious.
And be blue. So,
wow.
Looking forward to that, and then I'll do some video.
Wow. All right, well, you can check that out on our facebook.com/TheNerdWatch page. I'm sure that he'll be uploading that to his Instagram page as well. Throw up the helicarrier on NerdWatch, the Instagram page. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Got a few statues, got some more on
order. I was going to say that you got a couple new statues, Batman statues, obviously. So
got the original. It's actually was that San Diego Comic-Con exclusive.
Oh, wow.
The first appearance of Batman statue.
Ooh!
So that looks really nice.
That's awesome. So you've nice been you've been doing some collecting, as it were, more collecting. Yes. That helicarrier is taking up a lot of space. It looks really good, by the way, because I'm looking at it right now.
That's probably what, 2.5 feet long?
Yeah, I'd say so. Probably maybe a little less. Maybe
nice
2 feet.
Nice little stand.
Yeah, I like the plaque.
All the adult. I guess the UCS Ultimate Collector Series come with the displays like that. And this one came with a new Hawkeye, Mariah Hill, a new Captain America, a new Black Widow, and a new, what's his name? I'm drawing a blank.
Nick Fury.
Fury. So all new costumes on those, which is kind of cool. I like the minifigures myself. But overall, if you're a kid, get an adult to help you.
Well, listen, if you're a kid, if you're planning on buying this thing, just know that it costs you just as much as a PS4. So you may...
It's a little less than a PS4.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. What is it? Like $80 less than a PS4?
$49 less than a PS4.
Oh, $49. Okay. Yeah. Well,
that's a huge difference.
It is.
I guess it is. So
that's 1/8. Of a difference.
Well, you know what's funny? What really strikes me is that I always wondered whatever happened to modeling, because modeling was a big thing when I was a kid. You know, model trains, model planes, and it doesn't seem like that's a hobby anymore. It seems like Lego has kind of taken over that model hobby. Modeling was always fun for me. Well, not all of it, but it was fun to put together the plane and things like that. I never got into the Lego space, though. I mean, when I was a kid, I was more Lincoln Logs. But yeah, I never got into the Lego space and building as...
Lincoln Logs?
Lincoln Logs.
Can you tease Professor Barry about his old phone?
But that was when I was a kid. I remember we had that big box of Lincoln Logs.
Yeah, did you have Tinker Toys? I had Tinker Toys.
Yeah. I had Tinker Toys, but I liked the Lincoln Logs better because you could build so many cool little things. But yeah, I had Legos when I was a kid, but I never got into. I don't know if I wasn't as creative when I was younger, but I could only build so many things, and I just never was as creative as I thought I was. So, but yeah.
Well, now the big difference between. Because I was actually thinking of picking up a couple car models and doing it with my son. Legos, it's for adults anyways, it's more of a collector thing.
Because
as soon as that thing is stopped being produced, it will more than double in price.
Right.
So a lot of these guys will buy two, they'll build one. Even if you don't keep it in the box and you build it, and then you just sell it as pieces, and as long as you have everything, you can still sell it for twice what you paid.
Wow.
So, you know, if that's $300-$400, once they stop producing it, wait a year, you could sell it for a grand. That's it's insane. Always, with Legos, it's guaranteed to always sell for more than what you bought it for.
Wow. That is insane. Well, Collector J, I'm sure there'll be more pieces coming in, and I'm sure you've got more more hot toys or collectibles, as it were, coming in as well. And I'm sure they'll be Batman-centric. It seems to be the character of choice for you.
I have to pick one, because if I did them all, I just... I posted a picture this morning that said, if you want to make sure you teach your kids how to collect Star Wars toys, because then they'll never have any money for drugs.
Yeah, that's
which
a good
is pretty
idea.
Much true.
That is very true.
So, but if you do Star Wars and Star Trek, you won't have any money for rent either.
Right, that is very true. Good point.
And Collector J, if you liked the last half of American Sniper, say you're in for a treat because that first half, and when you watch them together, oh
it's,
boy,
it's insane.
It's good.
Well, I saw it like they started when he came home. Right before he went off to his third tour, so okay. The baby had just been born.
Right.
So I got to see her dealing with a detached husband.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was good to see him come back after the fourth tour.
Yeah.
And she should have had some intuition. I mean, if that's really how it happened.
Sure.
Greg should be fired from bringing his phone into the studio. Should have stopped him. But yeah, it's very sad the way it was. And I actually got kind of teary when they showed the real footage.
For sure. Yeah.
It's always hard. It's always easy to be detached from the movie. But mm-hmm. once you start bringing in the real footage, then it's more
of it a, becomes a more yeah,
realistic yeah, hitting home. So, yeah,
definitely. Well, when he comes back from that first tour and he builds a helicarrier out of Lego, you will love that.
It wasn't even released then.
I'm just saying.
And for some reason, I don't think he'd be in the Legos.
No, he wouldn't. No, he wouldn't.
But that scene would just hit home.
It would hit home for you. But anyway, awesome. I'm glad you got to see American Sniper. I'm glad you got to build the helicarrier because the helicarrier is insanely awesome.
Yeah. Very cool.
You will enjoy the first half as much as the second half. And when they're together, it's a full movie, and you will have I guarantee that you'll
movie
probably
math.
You'll probably write a review about it, and I think you'll have a deep appreciation for it, Professor Barry.
Yeah,
you had a lot of stuff going on with you this week, didn't you?
I did.
Oscars. You watched the entire show.
I did.
What else was on your schedule?
Nothing glamorous. Julia's sick, so I've been playing nursemaid, and last night I was sharing the hide-a-bed with my dog, who got sick at 2 a.m. and threw up.
Was your wife kissing the dog?
No.
Is that what?
No. My dog got into the wrong doggy bowl. There's two dogs in the house, my father's dog, who's kind of a big old junkyard dog, and then my dog, which is like this little petite little Maltese. The little petite Maltese had a treat out of the wrong dog bowl, mm-hmm. and it just didn't set with her, and I know exactly what it was that she ate because it reappeared this morning at 2 a.m. So that's what I've been doing. Domestic
I love
fun.
The fact that you get kicked out of bed and then puked on. It's just like it's like a movie.
It is. No respect to
no
you.
Respect.
No respect
at all. I tell you. Did you happen to see any movies this week?
I really didn't. I don't think there's anything worth seeing, is there? I mean,
no, not really.
Because typically I avoid movies that open on my birthday because mm-hmm. they almost are always terrible. Mm-hmm. When I was in college, Palmetto opened up. Do you remember Palmetto with mm-hmm. Woody Harrelson?
Palmetto with Woody Harrelson.
That opened on my
birthday.
That was
like a film noir kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that good.
No.
That on my birthday, the cheerleading movie Fired Up opened on my birthday. Like, it's always crap. So so it's like, I know to avoid movies that open on Friday, February 20th. And this year it was McFarlane USA, which I've heard is really good, actually, the Kevin Costner movie.
Right, right.
What else? Hot Tub Time Machine 2, which I'm told to wait for. Yeah. And The Duff, which I have no desire to see.
I think I lost all interest in McFarlane USA when I saw the preview of the I'm assuming the Mexican kids and the white kids, and the Mexican kid turns to the white kids on the starting line of the race and goes, "Do you play golf?" And then the Mexican kid goes, or the, well, the Mexican kid tells the white kid, "Hey, do you play golf?" And then the Mexican kid, the white kid, goes, "No," and he goes, "Oh," he says, "Yes," and then the Mexican kid goes, he looks at him and says, in all seriousness, "This is not like golf." No kidding! No kidding! It's you're running. I was like, I didn't. That made zero sense to me. I didn't get it. Was that one of those slight jokes that it's a rich person's?
It's like reverse racism. Sports?
So weird to me. Did you see that preview?
I saw the trailer. I wasn't impressed, but the reviews have me interested because it's probably the best reviewed costume movie in a long time.
Did you see that scene that I'm talking?
Yeah. I've seen the scene.
Wasn't it weird?
It didn't. You know, it's like the button before the trailer ends. It didn't make me go, "Ooh, I'm going to see that."
Ooh,
now.
Ooh, yeah.
That's a scene.
Boy, those kids are really sticking it to those rich kids. Like, what the, that was some kind of cut.
The diss of all disses, yeah.
It was weird. It was a total diss, and it made no sense to me. But, did you watch anything at home?
No.
No?
Other than the Academy Awards, no.
Right? No, but you did say you saw Guardians of the Galaxy again.
That's true. I watched that last night.
And what is your impressions on the second time around?
I like the film. It's still not my favorite film of last year, though a lot of people disagree with me on that one. I think it's very enjoyable. To me, there's so many aspects of Star Wars in it. To me, it reminds me so much of Star Wars, even the dynamic with the characters and the trajectory of the characters. But, I mean, I stand by my original opinion. I mean, I think the humor and the heart of it is what makes it so good.
Good.
The scenes... I said this back in July, but the scene where Drax comforts Rocket after his friend has seemingly died, it's beautiful.
Sure.
The scene comes out of nowhere. They could have easily cut it out of the film and it wouldn't have hurt, but it's scenes like that, and the movie has a lot of moments like that, mm-hmm. that I think make the film so good. And for me, that's why it's a special film, because it's not just a special effects CGI fest. There's a lot of heart. There's a lot of humor there. And these are characters I really love, and I think that's the most important thing. All the space opera aspects of it, I really just don't find that interesting. I really don't like Lee Pace's character. I don't think Thanos has an interesting enough introduction that I really wanted to follow him just based on this movie alone.
Sure.
But I love these guys, and the inevitable sequel, let's bring it on.
Wow. All right. So did the wife like it?
Yeah, she loved it.
More importantly, did Charlotte like it?
I think Charlotte liked Rocket Raccoon a lot.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. She got a thrill up her leg, I take it. So, okay, got it. That's awesome. Good
she seemed
her.
To be especially interested when Rocket was on the screen.
I'm sure she did. It was very relatable to her.
Yes.
Got it. Absolutely. That's great. All right. Oscars. Speaking of best pictures.
Yep.
The Oscars was on Sunday, hosted by NPH, Neil Patrick Harris. First off, Collector J, did you watch it?
I watched only the first few minutes, but what I thought was awesome is he basically called Oprah fat.
Did he? I missed
You didn't miss it? So he said he was talking about how American Sniper made half of what the box office had pulled in. So I said $600 million domestically.
Yeah,
out of the, like that. And then American Sniper pulled in $300 million, right? So he said basically... This half of the room represents American Sniper,
right?
And this half of the room is Oprah.
Oh, wow.
So, and he tried to explain to her it was because you're rich, but I took it more of as
a
you make up as
weight.
Much. That's how I took it.
Wow.
It could have been, you know, because you make as much money as that half of the room, but I thought it was more like, this is a big part of the room, and you make up the other half. I thought that
was...
Wow. It's like, wow.
You look at that.
He's never going to be in the Oprah show.
Wow, that's crazy. you saw some of it.
Saw some up to the American Sniper, and then some things came up, so I had to dip out.
Okay. Format, did you watch? You got to watch
the
whole show?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Okay. Professor Barry, what about you?
The entire thing.
So what's funny is that Format was live Facebooking on the NerdWatch page.
Oh, nice.
About it. So
Oscar party next year. I was watching at my house. My parents, my father, my stepmom had no interest in watching it, so they were kind of grumbling that I had it on. So next year, I'll just go to your house.
Awesome.
We'll do that.
I am a staunch...
Sorry, I didn't mean to invite myself to your house. We'll have an Oscar party. That's what I mean.
that doesn't sound gay at all. Not at all. Anyway.
It's not like golf.
It's not like golf. Anyway. I have sworn off the Oscars.
Why?
I don't like I was telling this to Foreman on the way up here. I am not a fan of the pretentious douchebaggery that happens during the Oscars. Everybody seems to say, every superstar seems to stand on their soapbox about some political point that they have no idea what they're talking about, which really irritates the heck out of me. It happens a lot, so I'm not into that garbage, so I don't.
So nothing specifically.
Right. Right, like, we'll get
into it. Just pretentious douchebaggery.
Pretentious douchebaggery all around. We'll get into one of the things that happened there in just a little bit. But overall, since you were the two main guys that watched the show, what was your feelings this time around? How was it? How would you rate the show, Professor Barry?
I don't think it was a very good show. I love the set design. That was pretty arresting. I thought the set pieces were nice.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the material that Harris had to work with wasn't very good. I thought the opening number felt really forced. I thought most of his one-liners really kind of sunk. It seemed like his best moments were off the cuff. It didn't feel like any of the scripted stuff he had really worked all that well. He had this long running bit about a lockbox. I didn't think the payoff was good at all or even worth the effort. The stuff that really I thought worked was stuff that was really surprising, particularly the Lady Gaga bit. I think of all things was a real surprise.
That actually is going viral, that whole thing.
She did a tribute to The Sound of Music, and I got to say, and it also comes just from, I can't say I would have even given her the benefit of the doubt. I've never thought she was a very good singer, and it turns out she's got a real operatic pipes. I never knew that.
She is, can I say this about Lady Gaga? I cannot stand her music. But when she duets with Tony Bennett, she becomes a completely different artist. She's got a beautiful voice. She can hang with Tony. When she sings standards, she's really good, surprisingly good. So I wasn't shocked that she did well for Sound of Music. But yeah, she can sing.
Yeah.
So I mean, when she's not being the Lady Gaga, the artist, in air quotes, she's good. You know, I think people are starting to come around to the fact that people are missing singers as opposed to, you know, performers.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's good. So overall, NPH, okay. The Oscar part, the Oscar show itself was for you. Eh. Was there a best moment? Was the best moment Lady Gaga for you?
I think I was happy that American Sniper, Interstellar, and Selma all walked away with an Academy Award because I thought they were really three of the best films of last year, and I'm glad that they all won something. Because for me, I hate Oscars where the love isn't spread out, because really, if you're even nominated, that's just kind of an amazing thing. There's so many movies that come out every year. There's so many good films that get overlooked. So I like it when they spread it around. I hated that. I mean, I really think that Guardians of the Galaxy should have won for makeup. I think it's ridiculous that...
It didn't?
It didn't.
Yeah.
No, and it really should have. The makeup in that film is extraordinary. There's all sorts of films that got left out in the cold, but I'm glad that, you know... Because back in, I think it was October, Interstellar was predicted to be like the front runner for Best Picture. It wasn't. So I'm just glad that, you know, American Sniper walked away with an Academy Award. So did Selma. So did Interstellar. But yeah, for the most part, I really wasn't all that crazy about it. I thought the speeches were quite good. I thought there was a lot of passion in the speeches this year. A lot of good stuff.
There's a lot of fuss made about the... the foreign language film director from, was it Poland? Poland,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was wonderful, and I love that film. I've been saying Ida. It's actually Ida, and I'm glad Ida won the award.
Ida's on Netflix, by the way, I believe, still.
It's a terrific film.
So we'll check that out. Format, what about you, sir? What say you? How was the Oscars for you?
For me, I guess it was enjoyable for the most part. I mean, it was something to watch. It wasn't really something that held my attention for very long.
Sure, sure.
Being that I used to do lights for the entertainment industry, I kept watching the stage and watching the lighting production, the projection techniques that they were using to more or less throw holograms on the stage. That was really impressive. But as far as the show itself, it really did fall kind of flat for me anyway.
Sure.
But yeah, I agree with Professor Barry. Like Neil Patrick Harris's more off-the-cuff stuff that he just kind of came up with on the spot was more hilarious than anything else that he said.
That was written for him.
Yeah.
Sure.
As far as like any standout moments, Nothing really. Like I haven't really watched the Oscars in years? Like ages. Right. Yeah,
Kanye wasn't there.
What is that?
Kanye wasn't there.
No, but there was a reference to a Kanye moment. But yeah, I don't really watch the Oscars. I don't really watch award shows in general. But because I knew we were going to do this show, I felt, I should probably...
compelled to take a look at it.
I should probably take a look and see if it's gotten any better over the years. And for me, no, not really.
It hasn't. right, exactly. Yeah. I do know that Collector J on the Nerdwatch page, at least what I'm getting, he can correct me if I'm wrong, the best part for him was the performance of Everything is Awesome.
Well, I saw that after the fact.
I didn't see it. Was it good?
It was
pretty impressive.
It's pretty, yeah. Yeah, Will Arnett. I mean, the best part for me was Batman showing up.
Of course.
But, that was pretty.
The Batman song. That was so awesome.
I mean, I hate the song because it's overplayed, but it was well done.
Okay,
it was kind of cool to see that in there because they got snubbed at pretty much every award show, but at least they got to be on stage and then they played true to the movie where Batman does chime in, talks about no parents and that really rocky, heavily voice he does in the movie. It was good.
Okay, cool. Awesome. All right, so overall, Oscar's not exactly great. Did anybody see, really quick, before we get into the list of winners, did anybody see the thoroughly uncomfortable exchange between Melanie Griffith and Dakota Johnson
on the red carpet? I kept hearing
the
about
the mom
that.
And the daughter about, they're asking Melanie Griffith whether or not she's going to see her daughter in 50 Shades. And Melanie's like, no, I don't think I can do it. And Dakota's like she seems like a petulant child. Like, no, it'll be fine. And then Melanie's like, no, I don't think I could ever watch it. And then she's like basically saying, okay, mom, we get it. And it was really uncomfortable, super uncomfortable. Uh-huh. Like what? Now she knows, someone brought up a good point. Now Melanie Griffith knows what it feels like when her mother, Tippi Hedren, was in her day when she was saying that she wouldn't watch Melanie's films because of what the choices that she had made.
Right.
So now Melanie knows what that feels like. So that was interesting. I thought that was interesting. But yeah, that it's online. I think it went viral. It's a little the exchange is supremely uncomfortable on the red carpet, and it's definitely worth a watch because it makes you feel uncomfortable. It's great.
I would like to know what that conversation transpired in the limo ride. She's like, "Mom, I've never had to watch Body Double."
I know, right, exactly. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I tell you. So anyway, let's get into the winners and losers, and then we'll get into our best pictures of the year. And if there's a performance that stands out to you guys, then let's by all means talk about it. First off, should we start at the top or the bottom of the list?
Work our way up.
Let's work our way up. Okay, so looking at starting with, we'll keep to what's important: best actor, best actress, supporting actor, supporting actress. We'll stick to the. We'll stick to the main list of things. So first off, was the best. I believe it was the best. Let's get into some of the. We'll get into sound effects, sound editing, and special effects because those are big for us. So we got on the list. The best visual effects went to Interstellar. That was, I would assume, pretty well deserved. I have not seen Interstellar, so I can't make a judgment.
I'd say so. I mean, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is pretty close, though. I mean, that's a whole cast of characters who are all so believable and so tangible, seemingly. I think Interstellar deserved to win just because it kind of creates what's possible and what isn't possible scientifically. Mm-hmm. And really, if any movie's going to win it feels like that's the natural winner. But I think Dawn was pretty close. I mean, if Dawn had won it, I think I would have been happy as well.
Best makeup went to the Grand Budapest Hotel. I have not seen that yet. Is there something in the makeup that was amazing?
No, not at all. It should have gone to Guardians of the Galaxy, which is amazing. Grand Budapest Hotel, I thought, was pretty subtle. In fact, they spotlighted the work that Tilda Swinton had done in that mm-hmm. movie, and I think her makeup in Snowpiercer was much more impressive.
Wow. Grand Budapest Hotel walked away with Best Original Music Score. Was that accurate?
That I'd give it to. Yeah, I love the music in that film.
Crazy.
Yeah, so I'd give it...
Well, Best Original Screenplay went to Birdman. Mm-hmm. What'd you think? I mean, it was original, but I mean...
I wouldn't give it to Birdman at all.
No. Best Adapted Screenplay went to The Imitation Game.
Yeah, and that's a great screenplay, and mm-hmm. I thought it was one of the best speeches of the night, too. But I don't know. I think I think The Imitation Game deserved to win a lot more than it did. It was like one of the many films I thought that kind of got... I feel like Grand Budapest Hotel and Birdman kind of overwhelmed a lot of the winnings, and I don't think they deserve to dominate like they did.
I kind of agree with you on that. Best Animated Feature Film went to Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
I completely disagree with that. I would have gone with How to Train Your Dragon
2. I was just about to say that. Yeah. I think that How to Train Your Dragon 2 got robbed.
It did.
Robbed.
Yeah, it's a beautiful film.
It's highway robbery. Also on this list, Best Supporting Actress went to Patricia Arquette for Boyhood. Was that well-deserved, people? I mean,
I think so.
Was it good?
Excuse me. Especially if you consider that often these awards, they kind of... sorry, I need some water. They kind of work... Sorry. Go fetch me some water.
Jeez. Wow. Oh, that's crazy. Thank you. That's really good.
Here's your water.
Thank you, sir. No tip for you.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's okay. I gave you it.
All right, so...
Sorry, thank you.
You're welcome.
What I was saying is a lot of the times these awards are kind of like, you know, career achievement awards. And I think in the case of Patricia Arquette, we're talking about a career that basically began with A Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Sure.
She's worked with everybody from David Lynch to Martin Scorsese. She's had a very – Tim Burton. She's had a very impressive career. This is probably one of the best, if not the best, performance she's given. And I think that's saying a lot because she's done a lot of really terrific work. And she's a very subtle actress. So, yeah, by all means, if this is you know, it's unfortunate it's the only award the film got, but she was terrific, and I think she deserved it.
She's the highlight, one of the highlights I wanted to talk about. Her soapbox speech about the equal pay for equal work.
We know how you feel when you begin with soapbox speech.
It was so out of place and so ridiculous, and if she had done any research at all, you know, being the feminist that she purports that she is, if she had done any research, the universe, who is it? There it is. I even pulled it up. The American Association of University of Women, okay, said that the paying gap is a myth. They say that it's less than 7 cents, and women are paid equally. That the reason why women aren't paid the same in a certain sense is because of the careers that they choose. So they go to college, become teachers. They're not going to get paid as much. Men look at the income they're going to make. Women base their work on what they find emotionally appealing. So they're not going to get paid as much. So this is not an equal pay for equal work thing because men and women are equally paid. It's the choices that they make in their careers, according to the study from them. You can check it out. You can actually check it on a website that I currently revile, and that's HuffPost.
I don't disagree with the study. I think if you just look at it strictly from the entertainment industry, I mean, yes, women have always been paid considerably ridiculously less than men. That's historical, and it's always been a very sexist thing. If women are willing to do nudity, if they're willing to do nude scenes, they get a bump in their pay raise. But if they're willing to do, you know, whatever, Aaron Brockovich, they typically will not get paid as much as men. It's always been the case. Halle Berry got paid $11 million for Swordfish. She did not get paid anything near that for Monsters Ball. It's just that's the way it's always been.
Right. Well, it's hard for me to feel bad about Hollywood considering the fact that on a job in a year I don't make $11 million.
Sure.
So it's hard for me to sympathize or to empathize. So yeah, I thought that speech was a little out of place, and I was like, and I like Patricia Arquette. So I was like, and I wish if she had done a little more research, she would have known that that wasn't the case. But anyway, moving on. The Best Supporting Actor went to J. Jonah Jameson for Whiplash, a.k.a. J.K. Simmons. I thought that was extremely well-deserved. I love that performance. What did you think? What did you guys think?
No contest. It was the best. I really thought he should have been up for Best Actor, honestly.
You know, I was just about to say, I thought so too. I thought he was. I don't know if they put Miles Teller in that category, but
that might have been what happened. And you know, and respectfully, I understand that it is a supporting character, but I mean, he looms large in that film. He's like the Joker in Batman. There's no question who this movie is really about and what we're really watching this film for.
First of all, Joker's a sociopath. Or a psychopath. J.K. Simmons' character in Whiplash is not.
Highly debatable.
Yeah,
highly debatable.
I seriously, yeah, it's definitely highly debatable. Did you guys see Whiplash, by the way?
No.
Oh, man.
But I love the clip that they played when they were announcing his nomination.
Which, oh, yeah.
Where he kept slapping the kid. I was like, oh, yeah. Huh. Greg would love this.
I did. I loved it. Anyway, you know what's interesting is that J.K. Simmons had probably one of the best speeches in the thing, and I thought it was really adorable. It was very cute.
He said, "Call your mom and dad."
So he said, "Call your mom and dad." He said, "Don't text them. Don't email them. Don't write them." He said, "Call them. Tell them how much you love them." And I thought that was very cool. It was very sweet.
Didn't think it was a soapbox speech at all.
I didn't think it was
offensive
a soapbox
or egregious.
I thought it was.
You should have done his research. People don't call their parents anymore. Right, how dare they?
That's he was making a point that people don't call their parents. It's so impersonal. So I thought that was very sweet for him to say. And you know, I'm assuming that he loves his parents.
I enjoyed the MPH moment right after that.
Oh, I missed that.
He won an Oscar. Bum ba-dum, bum 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 bum.
That was pretty awesome. I didn't know that. J.K. Simmons, well deserved. Good on you, sir. I think it was an amazing performance. Best foreign language film went to Ida.
Yep.
Best original song went to Glory from John Legend and Common.
Lonnie Lynn.
Have you heard that song?
Yeah, I did. I saw the performance. They performed it at the Oscars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What I thought was funny was that they weren't, when they were presented the award, they weren't presented to their stage names. It was their real names.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So Common's real name is Lonnie Lynn.
Yes, I know.
That was hilarious. Yeah. I could have stopped cracking up after that.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't follow the raps.
Yeah, I don't follow the raps either.
I don't think you can really put Common into the rap category. Common's a little bigger than that.
I think Common's not a rap artist. He's a hip hop artist. And I really enjoy Common's music. I don't enjoy his social stances because I think he's a commie, but that's just me.
Yeah,
but
Common.
Common, yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah.
Common.
Same thing. Same thing. And John Legend, of course, is married to Christy Teigen, one of the Sports Illustrated bikini models. Christy Teigen or whatever. I don't know.
That's great for him.
They make it a big deal in the press. I don't know. Okay. That's why I thought I'd bring it up. Also in the category for on the Academy Awards, Alejandro González Iñárritu won for Best Director of Birdman. What say you guys? Should he have won?
He's a very inventive director, but it's a really visionary film, no question. But for better or for worse, I also think it's a really self-indulgent film, and I think it's more of a stunt than it is than a story. But people are all over the board about that. I don't think it was the best directing job of the year.
Who would you give that to?
I would have given it to Mr. Eastwood.
I would as well.
Who was not nominated, or I would have given it to Ava DuVernay for Selma. I mean, I would have given it to Christopher Nolan, Richard Linklater. It's not like he spent, maybe a decade working on one film.
To be honest, wouldn't you, Richard Linklater, even though he worked 12 years on that film, the story wasn't as cohesive as it could have been. There wasn't that through line for me didn't really, I don't know. It just didn't connect with me.
You don't think it was like life? How life goes in some odd directions?
It does. I guess
that subplot where she gets married a second time and the guy's a monster.
Yeah, maybe. I got to watch it again because, like I said, I'm not saying I dislike the film, but I was like, it was just a little odd and disjointed for me. Maybe it's just like life. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're absolutely right in that respect. So, yeah, but I don't think it should have went to Alejandro for sure. Best Actress went to Julianne Moore for Still Alice. Was that well deserved in her category?
Yeah, I'd say so. there were some really strong nominees this year. I thought Reese Witherspoon gave a really
admirable performance. Reese Witherspoon was going to walk away with it.
Yeah, that was a very tough performance. I think she did a fine job there. But Moore is pretty amazing, though.
Still Alice is quite an affecting film. So,
yeah, it really is.
Yeah, so I think that people should see it, take a look at it. It's it's definitely not exactly nerd watch fare, but if you're looking for something out of the box as far as nerddom, check that out. And then then we have Best Actor, Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything, his portrayal of Stephen Hawking. Do you think that should have went to him?
No, it's a fine performance, and he's one of the best things about that film. But no, I was surprised that Michael Keaton didn't get it because he was on such a roll. And if we are talking about a career award, then Michael Keaton is well overdue for this. The other guy, not just Bradley Cooper, who would also deserve it, I think, in any other year. I would have given it to Benedict Cumberbatch. whose performance knocked me out in the Imitation Game.
I think it should have went to him too, even though his performance was distracting for me because he is Benedict Cumberbatch. I mentioned that in my review that I have.
Yeah.
I think it should have went to him as well. And it was a really odd choice, Eddie Redmayne, considering the fact that Birdman was on such a roll. And Michael Keaton hasn't won a statue ever.
He's never been nominated.
Never been nominated. So this was amazing. And then finally, Best Picture of the Year went to Birdman.
Birdman!
And... Do we think that it was well-deserved for Birdman?
No, not at all. No.
I agree. I think it it should have went to either A, Whiplash, or B, American Sniper. I knew American Sniper wasn't going to win because of the military stance in the film. I knew that wasn't going to happen. It's really unfortunate. But I will say that Whiplash should have been the best picture of the year, in my opinion. So, Birdman, it's an acquired taste, and it is very strange. Collector J is going to write a review on it. I can't wait to read that review for sure. All right, so now's the time, boys and girls. It's the fun part of the show. Now that we've gone over all of the officials, let's go into our best pictures of the year. We have a top 10 best list. Now, since Amber, a.k.a. Digit, isn't here, let me go over her list first.
Okay.
And then I'll go to Collector J, I'll go to Format. And then I'll go to Professor Barry, and then I'll give my top 10. Okay, so, Amber, this one's for you, dear. Your top 10 list. Best films of the year, according to Digit. Just realize that she is a nerd, so this is her top 10. She says this is in no particular order, okay? So I'm not sure where she puts these, but here we go. In no particular order, her best movies of the year are 1.
Wrong.
She's not here to defend herself, Jay.
I know, it's a perfect time.
I know. Her number one film, according to this, in no particular order, is The Lego Movie.
Wrong.
Here's the odd one, okay? 300, Rise of an Empire for
Wrong.
Her.
Wow.
Yes.
That is really? An unusual choice.
Yeah. Captain America, Winter Soldier.
Wrong. Oh, wait.
Yeah, I was going to say. X-Men, Days of Future Past. How to Train Your Dragon 2 is on her list. Maleficent was on her list. Guardians of the Galaxy. Lucy. Expendables 3. And wow. Big Hero 6.
That is a nerdy, nerdy list.
Would you like to know what her runner-up is? The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies, because Bilbo Baggins was so good.
Wow. I think our show just got smaller.
It's a fun list. No, I appreciate that. It's popular movies. Mm-hmm. It's movies that she likes, and she should feel completely open and free to express her love for mainstream popular movies.
Absolutely.
Says who?
But don't,
professional movie critic.
Hey, that's fine. But I mean, don't.
I'm just playing.
Don't.
I think it's funny how much it mirrors my list.
You two really were cribbing off each other's sheet when you were cramming for this.
What'd you write down? What'd you get for number 7?
Well, listen, it's okay to have whatever opinion you want, but don't be surprised when you get mocked for it, is all I'm saying. Okay, so did I say I was going to Format or Collector J? What is your top 10 movies for 2014?
Well, unlike Digit, I put mine in order.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did. I ordered mine. It was kind of hard.
Okay.
But I did. Number 10.
Okay.
Dracula Untold.
Oh!
Interesting.
I have not seen it.
You said that you like this film because it's a good telling of the Dracula lore, right?
It's different, and it was well done.
All right.
It was a different telling. It wasn't your Bram Stoker's.
This movie, man.
It wasn't your Bram Stoker's. It was actually the reason he became what he was actually was for a good reason, and in the end stayed that way for love, basically.
Wow.
It was an interesting story. I think it was great visuals for me.
Cool. Wow. Okay, number 9?
Edge of Tomorrow. Because it surprised me.
Wow.
Because it surprised me.
That almost made my list, you know.
Because most of the movies he does are he's one-dimensional to me now.
Jade about Cruise?
Like, Cruise.
Okay.
Like Cumberbatch is very distracting for you in Imitation Game.
Yeah.
Same way for him. But this one really surprised me.
Interesting. And number 8?
Number 8 was The Lego Movie.
Oh, of course. You're a big fan. And number
7 was Lucy.
Ah.
So you and Digit do have a lot of comedy. Right? Fans of Lucy.
All right.
Number six was Birdman.
Oh wow. Birdman did make your top 10.
It did make it.
Wow.
So you were happy when it won Best Picture.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, it was number six.
Well,
I mean,
okay. That's true. All right, number five?
There's five other ones I would have chosen. number five was X-Men.
Okay. And Days of Future Past. Okay.
Four was Captain America.
Okay.
Three was The Babadook.
Okay.
Good choice.
Number two was John Wick.
Oh, wow.
And number one was Guardians.
Guardians of the Galaxy for you. Wow. That's not a bad list.
That's a fun list.
That is a fun nerd list if I ever heard one.
And for me, really making the list is, would I ever watch it again?
Sure. Right.
After the first time. And the Guardians I've seen at least six or seven times. Babadook I've seen twice.
I would collect Jay on that because I've noticed that the older I get, if the movie's too long, I only watch it once and I'll never watch it again. Like Gandhi. I think Gandhi's a good movie, but I don't think I'm ever going to watch it again. You know?
Right. So, no, you're absolutely right. There was a list of an article recently about how a lot of these movies they don't have staying power.
Right.
No one's going to watch 12 Years a Slave ever again.
The first time.
No one's
going
to watch Gandhi ever again.
Right.
It's a once in a lifetime movie.
It absolutely is. All right. So format. While you were cramming last week for your top 10 best pictures of 2014, what say you? What is your top 10?
At number 10, Maleficent.
Oh,
nice.
Okay.
Number nine, Hercules.
Wait.
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson.
Okay, wow. Dwayne Johnson. Okay.
I'm sorry. Hercules.
Nice.
Number eight, Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Cool.
Number seven,
it's
kind of low. X-Men Days of Future Past.
Okay.
Number six, The Lego Movie.
Okay.
Wow. Number five, Dracula Untold.
Really? Wow. That's higher up
another
on the list
fan.
For you than Jay.
Yeah, it's
man.
Really good. I really enjoyed it.
Shoot, that's crazy.
It did really well, too.
Number four, Big Hero 6. Okay. Number three, Guardians of the Galaxy. Hmm. Number two, How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Nice.
And number one, John Wick.
Wow! I like your list already because John Wick's number one. Awesome!
Well, these are fun lists.
This
guys.
Is a fun list. All
I've
right.
seen that one three times already.
All right, right. Oh yeah, John Wick is so good. All right, so
they're making a second one.
Yeah, I know. Yes. I'm so stoked. All right, now let's go to Professor Barry. All
right,
let's see his top 10.
Am I
going to
know any of these movies?
Probably not. They're all silent films.
No, they're films for the blind.
Right. Oh, yes.
No, well, let's just go to the pretentious critics list.
You stink. You all stink.
Hey,
all
right. I'm trying to get on that list, too.
All right, top 10 movies for Professor Barry this
all
year.
All right, number 10 is the comical sci-fi film, The One I Love, which is on Netflix right now. Excellent film.
You know what's funny? I can I tell you something? I debated whether to put that on my top 10 movies, best movies of the year.
Yeah.
I even struggled to put that in my honorable mentions because I have honorable mentions that I wanted to do. But you're right. The One I Love is quite a movie.
That movie stayed with me. It's a creepy, creepy film.
Oh, yeah.
I really
good,
liked it.
Good, nice.
Number nine, you guys have heard of this one, Maleficent. I thought Maleficent was awesome. I love that film. That was my favorite big studio film. Number seven, Blue Ruin, which I thought was really creepy, haunting, violent, great crime thriller.
Okay.
Number six, Ida, the Polish film, which no one at this table has seen or will ever see.
I'll watch it. I like foreign films. I'll watch Ida.
Okay, very cool.
Well, at least some people at the award ceremony saw it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody in that room.
That's right.
All right, and the rest of this is pretty mainstream. You guys have heard of Gone Girl, number five. I thought Gone Girl was one of the best films of the year. Creepy,
I still
haven't haunting
yet to
film.
See that.
Great movie.
I heard it's good.
Yeah, great film. Number four, Christopher Nolan's Interstellar.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent film. Number three, and I think it deserves to be this high on the list, Clint Eastwood's American Sniper. Mm. Excellent American film.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Linklater's Boyhood. Great movie. I think a lot of people have connected to the universal aspects in it. And number one, is a movie that few people have seen. I had to seek this film out, but I'm glad I did. It was put out by a studio that just didn't have the money to push it. It's a movie about Abraham Lincoln growing up as a young boy in the log cabin. It's called The Better Angels.
Oh.
Better Angels, and it stars Jason Clarke. And,
the Vampire Hunter?
No.
I thought that's where he was going. No, I was like, no, I'm pretty sure that was pushed out.
That was a couple years ago. But no, it's Jason Clarke and Diane Kruger and Britt Marling and Wes Bentley in the cast. It's in black and white. It's a movie that really makes you feel like you were there. It's very immersive. It's a beautiful film. I recommend everybody see it. It's right now. It's on video on demand. It's also on Amazon Instant Watch. But it's going to be on DVD next month. So
check out called again?
The Better Angels.
Was
the
it one of those Angels. Found footage movies?
No.
Oh. A found footage Abraham Lincoln movie. That is awesome.
That would be interesting.
Wow. It's like black and white. Makes you feel like you're there. Figure found footage.
It's a 3D kind of immersive experience watching it. It's a beautiful.
It's in
movie.
4D. I heard. That's all what right. Disney had. Remember when I went to Disney back when I was 13?
Right.
They were touting something called 4D.
I remember that. You're right.
4D. Yeah, and I never knew what that fourth dimension was. But my dad, always had a problem seeing 3D movies with the glasses because of his eyes for some reason. But he said that was the only time he was actually able to see something in 3D. So maybe they're onto something.
Was that like Captain EO? Or?
Yeah.
No, there was something.
The
no, no, no.
4D?
No, 3D. It was. But the theater was shaking. Maybe that was the fourth.
No, maybe. I don't know what it was. Right. There was something that was touted at Disney. Yeah. It was a short film or something in 4D. I don't know if it was because they were actually using like live smoke or they were doing other effects in the theater at the time. But I know what he's talking about. I just cannot recall what it was.
Yeah, neither can I.
Yeah, that's crazy.
To look that up.
All right. Let me give you my top 10 list, and then we'll talk about my honorable mentions. Here's my top 10 for 2014. Best pictures of the year for me.
Let the mockery begin.
Let the mockery begin. Coming in at number 10, ironically, it made my list. I will say, because I was highly critical of it being what it was, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes made my top 10. I have to say that me and Professor Barry watched that together, and he and I had the same reaction to it that was highly depressing. But I think after revisiting it, I have to say that Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was an incredibly well-crafted film that for me, just Andy Serkis alone's performance as the ape was quite amazing. So for that, it made my top 10. Also, at number 9, John Wick. Made my list. John Wick was one of the best pictures of the year for me.
Is this in order?
This is in order.
It's kind of low on the list.
It's kind of low on the list.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Don't worry.
He probably put it at number one.
Number 9 was amazing. It's on here twice.
It's on there twice. Number 9 is John, and the number 1 is Wick.
Number 9, John Wick was amazing. Love John Wick. Keanu Reeves' performance was great. The story was well crafted. It was, for me, one of the best pictures because it was 85 minutes of your time, and they told a good story that was affecting, funny, dramatic, and the villain was fantastic. So, love John Wick. At number 8 was How to Train Your Dragon 2. It is superior to the original. That very rarely ever happens. That goes alongside the Alien sequel and the Terminator sequel and the Godfather sequel. Very few movies do that, and How to Train Your Dragon 2 is actually better than the original. At number 7... Captain America, The Winter Soldier. I thought that was one of the best directed, best story told comic films ever. It was a throwback to 1970s conspiracy thrillers. I have a very close connection to that because I like the Parallax View, All the President's Men. I love that stuff. So that was very high on my list. At number 6 was Nightcrawler. I know that's a weird one, and I think it's because I have such a close connection to what he's doing. Mm. And I think that's why it made my list, because he is, for all intents and purposes, he does on a grander scale and a more morbid scale, he does what we do. So I had on Maui Watch, obviously, I'm talking about. That's what we do.
I thought he had a podcast. I was like, really?
No.
He makes more money than we do.
Yeah, definitely.
Grander scale.
Jake Gyllenhaal did a very good job. He played that very well. I think Rene Russo was amazing in that movie. She's very, how can you put this? Not
female-ish.
She's got, you know, female parts and she's very affecting in the film, and she's very very cold and a little chilly.
Yeah,
she's good. She's amazingly good. At number 5, probably one of the best films I've seen all year, and that was The Babadook. An amazingly effective film. Multiple people can watch that film and get different things out of it. It's an amazing, amazing piece of work by a female director who I don't think was recognized, Jennifer Kent. Did an amazing job. I love The Babadook. At number four for me was The Imitation Game. No, number four for me was Guardians of the Galaxy. Excuse me. Okay. Love Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, you and I saw that together. I was over the moon for that movie. I've seen it 3 times now, I believe, and it's an amazing experience every time. I do now see that every time I watch it, I can pick up little flaws here and there, but I don't think that detracts from how much fun I had with it, and it's probably the best story told as far as a soap opera or as far as a space opera than Guardians of the Galaxy. Great stuff. It's a total reincarnation of the Star Wars for 21st century. Loved it. And number three was The Imitation Game. I think The Imitation Game was an amazing movie. Benedict Cumberbatch was phenomenal. Keira Knightley, in my review, she's if you read, you can read that on mywatch.com, Imitation Game. I thought Keira Knightley did a very good job. She had a very understated role. She wasn't out there, as it were. She was very supportive of Benedict Cumberbatch's character. I thought she was very well done, and I thought the story was great. I think that is probably one of the best pictures of the year. At number two. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to say this because I'm reversing it. I had it on my list one way, but I'm reversing it. At number two is American Sniper. If you read my review on mywatch.com, you can read it at our Facebook page as well. I give you the reasons why I think American Sniper is one of the best pictures of the year. It's amazing performances, an amazing movie. Love, love, love American Sniper. And the number one movie for me this year, like I've said before, and I'll say it again, it is the feel-good family movie of the year.
Oh,
Whiplash is the number one movie for me of the year. Absolutely love that movie. Miles Teller gives an amazing performance in that movie. J.K. Simmons is an absolute, and I say this in a good way, he's an absolute beast of a character in that film. He envelops that movie. You are so enraptured by his character and what he stands for in the film that you forget that he is J.K. Simmons and this guy ever played J. Jonah Jameson in the Spider-Man movie. Professor Fletcher is an amazing performance, and for that alone, I will say that that's the best picture of the year. And on top of that, the director is someone to watch for. He has made a movie that very few directors make their first time out, and he did it. So good on him. Whiplash is my number one movie of 2014. So love Whiplash. So
I'm surprised.
Oh yeah, right. Shocking.
No mention of Blended.
Well,
ooh,
here's
what? Well done, sir.
Thank you.
All right, well, here's I thought we'd have fun with this, because I thought I'd mention this. I didn't mention this to anybody because I wanted to keep it on the down low. I figured I'd mention a couple of honorable mentions of the year.
Okay.
I have 13 of them to mention.
Oh, Jesus. Break out the soapbox.
I know, here we go. let me know what you guys think of these.
I guess the rules just don't matter.
I know, right?
Top 10.
A couple of honorable mentions. Top I couldn't 10. Mention top 10. Number 13 for me was Snowpiercer. Okay. Honorable mentions. If you've never seen Snowpiercer, it is based on a comic book starring Chris Evans, and he's not in a uniform or an outfit. Very good movie. Didn't everybody get a chance to see Snowpiercer?
Yeah. It's in my to watch list.
You should definitely see it. It is definitely worth watching. Very good movie. At number 12 on my honorable mention list went to Chef, Jon Favreau's Chef. It was never meant to be best picture material by any stretch, but it was a fun, feel-good family movie, even though it was R-rated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Chef,
could have been PG-13. Though.
It could have been. Chef was great. Liked that movie a lot. The relationships were good. Jon Favreau did a great job directing. John Leguizamo was great. And so was Sofia Vergara. Wasn't a big fan of the kid, but he was all right.
He didn't get slapped.
Right. His father didn't cut his finger off when he was, you know, putting together those paninis. At number 11 is Blended.
That low?
It went in my honorable mentions list.
You went on for months about that thing, and it's that
Blended.
Low on a... It's that low on an honorable mentions
list?
Have
you seen Blended?
No.
Oh, my God.
I go to Jamba Juice at least once a week, and I see all the Blended I need to.
You need to watch Blended, sir. You'll like it. Collector J, you saw Blended, didn't you? Or no, Professor Barry saw Blended.
I saw Blended. I like Blended.
You will like Blended. Blended's great.
My wife saw it, and she actually was like, eh, so I won't
ever see it. Oh, my gosh. I cannot believe it. At number 10 is probably a film that you guys don't may not know. It's called Cold in July. Starring Michael C. Hall and Sam Shepard.
Yeah.
If you guys have not seen this film, you should. It is not perfect by any stretch, but it is quite thrilling. It is a mystery. It's suspenseful, and it's quite violent. Cold in July is a very, very good movie. Don't get me wrong. It's not. It's nowhere near any of the top 10, but it's a very good movie nonetheless. At number 9 on my honorable mentions list goes to Only Lovers Left Alive.
Oh, you liked it.
Starring the Jim Jarmusch movie.
Yeah.
I put it on my list. Why? Because and this is just going to sound weird. I put it on my list because Jim Jarmusch, the way he shoots his movies and the way he tells a story is unique. And I put it on there not because it's a great movie. I put it on there because it's something you should see, because Tilda Swinton is great in the part. And so is
Hiddleston.
Hiddleston. Tom Hiddleston from he's Loki in the Avengers movies.
That last scene in that movie made me jump out of my seat. I think it's the most terrifying, great fade out of the year.
I'm going to have to tell, if you don't know, Only Lovers Left Alive is about two vampires who, I can't even say. I don't want to break anything up. It's about two vampires who basically have been together for centuries. Yeah. And it takes off from there. It's not what you think, though. So when you go into the film, it is one of those movies that it's not about the vampire experience that you would assume it would be about. You know, you see what I'm saying? So, Only Lovers Left Alive for me. At number 8, and the only reason I bring it up is because it's a good performance, is Under the Skin from Scarlett Johansson. I thought the story was a bit confusing, but I still enjoyed it. Did you find it a little...
Well, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, as I think we talked about it, it's from the point of view of the alien species. We're never given a doorway. There's no opening crawl saying this is why they're
correct.
Here. Correct.
Right.
So it's strictly from the point of view of the alien, and we're basically looking at things that are never explained to us. We're not even sure exactly what her mission is. We just know that she blows it, and the movie is about her becoming more human over the course of the story.
Correct.
And I didn't mind that about it. If anything, my favorite scenes in the movies are the ones I can't explain. I love the opening scene, the way the eye is being apparently made by alien technology.
Right.
If that's even what the heck we're seeing. The way she, let's just say the way the film ends, I thought was very beautiful and poetic and also very shocking. I love that film. That I don't have an honorable mention, but that's a movie that did get pushed out of my top 10.
Sure.
Love that film.
And number 7 is Blue Ruin. It's on Netflix, guys, if you haven't seen it.
It's terrific.
Blue Ruin is a film that needs to be seen. It's quite an amazing piece of film. It's essentially a film noir movie. It's about murder. It's about vengeance. It's not what you think. So definitely see it. Would that sum up be fairly?
Yeah. I mean, I love those kinds of thrillers where it's very close to the vest. It's not like a John Wick sort of movie where there's anything cool or stylized.
Sure.
But it's one of these movies where you get the sense that at the end of the story, these characters have blood crusted underneath their fingernails.
Yeah.
Like it's real, like to the bone. It's a tough movie, and I love it for it.
And number 6 on the honorable mentions list goes to The Raid 2. If you haven't seen that was very good. A lot of people forgot that movie even existed, which is unfortunate. The Raid 2 is actually better than, I think, the original Raid.
Yes, definitely.
If you have not seen The Raid, you should. If you haven't seen, after you watch The Raid, watch The Raid 2. Have you seen The Raid 2?
I've seen the original, yeah. I didn't get to see the sequel.
You need to see Raid 2. You will love Raid 2.
Best car chase of the year.
Oh my gosh.
That car chase is amazing.
It's amazing. And number 5 was a smaller film that didn't get mentioned enough. It's a film from Israel called Big Bad Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys have not seen that either, that's another great film. It's Quentin Tarantino-esque, and that's all I want to say about it because the story is so impressive. It's on Netflix, by the way, just to let you know. And number 4 was Selma, self-explanatory. And number 3 was Gone Girl. At number 2 was Hornet's Nest. It's not a great movie. But I mentioned it because
it beat out Blended.
But it did, and the reason why it did is because it's a documentary about what it's like in the Middle East when you are fighting a war against the terrorists. It's an amazing. It is so real, and I mean that in the sense of this is what it looks like from them on a daily basis. You know, we look at stuff through the lens of the news. You look at this stuff through the lens of the soldier, and it is affecting. It's very good. Some people won't understand it because of the military aspect of it, but Hornet's Nest should be seen. And my number one honorable mention, finally, two documentaries in my top honorable mentions, goes to Jodorowsky's Dune.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Jodorowsky's Dune, you should. If you are a fan of Dune, you should see Jodorowsky's Dune. What he had planned
for amazing.
Dune would have made this movie a completely different film than what David Lynch was making, but if you can believe it, even more epic in scope. It was, I think that Jodorowsky's Dune was going to be the unmakeable movie. I mean, when you look at, do you think that there was ever a chance that that was ever going to get made?
I do.
Really?
I do. I
can see it too.
Only because he did have, I mean, he had all his ducks in a row and then it just kind of fell apart on him. There is a part of me that wishes that I could peek through the wormhole and look at what that would have been like. Because the thing is, the movie made a believer out of me. I believe that film would have changed cinema. I believed it would have changed science fiction.
It would have.
I think it would have changed what we see the possibilities of film. And certainly the clips of all the scenes of all the subsequent sci-fi movies that have clearly been influenced mm-hmm. by Dune. It's like the movie, that's the highest praise I can give it. And that's why it was, I must have skipped over. It was on my list. I think... It made me believe that if this thing had been made, I mean, this would have been the Gone with the Wind of sci-fi.
I think so. I think it would have. I just think it. I think it was so epic that after watching the film, I was like, "There's no way that Hollywood would have. There's no way anybody would have financed that. I don't think. I mean, even. I don't know. I just don't. I wouldn't.
Maybe the same way like Star Wars was financed, could you know, have like been. Independently, and you know, kind of would have snuck under the radar. But once people had a look at this thing, everybody probably would have tried to have made it. George Lucas probably would have tried to make Star Wars just because he saw Jodorowsky's Dune.
That's a good point. I guess my thing was is that I when you're looking at Dune the way he was looking at it, it, and I guess in this respect, it would have dwarfed Star Wars in some respects, do you think?
It's definitely less conventional storytelling, that's for sure. Because Star Wars has a lot of like King Arthur in it.
Right.
Whereas Dune is like, I mean, it's an acid trip. The way he was presenting it was very visually surrealistic. Not to mention he was trying to get all the political, I mean, all the stuff that's in there already, Frank Herbert, is really complex and weird.
Oh, yeah.
So the fact that Jodorowsky was trying to turn it into his own like personal acid trip and to make, you know, Baron Harkonnen and those characters ambiguous in their sexuality. I mean, he was trying to do something really, really crazy.
And like I said, when I say dwarf Star Wars, I mean that in the respect of in the storytelling sci-fi space, because Star Wars basically redefined sci-fi for us in the 70s. So I was thinking that I think Dune would have dwarfed the impact it would have had, because Dune would have been epic.
I agree with you. Yeah, and I think ultimately he was probably going to make something that, had he made it, it would have been more like 2001, just in terms of how heady it was, how influential, how crazy it was, and how it's kind of a Rorschach test. People can watch Star Wars and enjoy it. I feel like 2001 people have different responses to it, and I feel like the Jodorowsky vision of Dune, it may not have been as accessible as he thinks it was.
So my question is this. Do you think anybody in Hollywood would take up the mantle for that Dune picture?
Today?
Yeah.
I've heard rumors that the guy who did Waltz with Bashir wants to make it an animated film. And I hope he does, because I think that's probably the best way to visualize what it is.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. That's the guy who did the...
The Congress.
Congress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That didn't make your honorable mention.
No, it didn't. And I was already pushing 13. I didn't want to go 15.
You came up with like a completely separate top 10 list.
No, it really is. But anyway, those are our favorite movies of the year. I think we all can agree that there are things that need to be seen. John Wick is, all four of us say that John Wick is an amazing movie that needs to be seen. Dracula Untold, another movie that I have yet, you and I haven't seen.
These guys have seen it. I'm really surprised. It keeps coming up.
Yeah. I know. These guys have seen it, and they say it's good. And that movie, what, landed in like, in a really unfavorable spot on the schedule.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have to say, I think it was like in September or something like that. Yeah. So you guys saw something that we didn't, because I thought that this was going to be a throwaway movie.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So
it did well. It was popular. Can I address a movie that was on all of your lists but wasn't on mine and I'm not in love with, and I want to talk to you guys about
it? Oh!
Sure.
Because I this is the other film.
No, our lists are sacred. Just like your list is sacred.
Yeah, now that we're done with Greg's top 20.
What's up with that? Let's address that issue. Let's come up with a top 10. Honorable mention, runner up. Poor losers. I don't care what you call it. You came up with 20 movies that you said we got to watch.
By the way, while you're ranting, while you're on a roll, let me just say, I realized that my water was on the other side of my chair that I didn't realize. I actually had my water the whole time. So while I'm on my hissy fit and you were so sweet to get me another water, I was like Michael awesome. Sarah, and this is the end. So anyway, I just want to address that.
Anyways, back to the top 20. That's ridiculous.
I wanted to
hashtag fail.
I know. I wanted to mention those movies because they were so good, and they weren't great movies, but they should be experienced, I thought. Anyway, finally, before we get the heck out of this place, we want to. If you guys have your best movies of the year, hit us up on Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. If you have the top 10 movies of the year for you, post them up. Let us know what you guys think, and we'll wrap. Yo. And then
no, we won't.
No.
I probably will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, we want to know what you guys think of your best picks of the 10 best picks of the year were, for sure. Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. We've got multiple reviews up right now. Collector J's got reviews, the Format's got reviews for RoboCop, Theory of Everything. He's got some more in the hopper. Professor Barry has got reviews up right now as well. So do I. I've got Avatar. I've got Imitation Game and American Sniper up as we speak. So check those out for sure. All right. I think it's time for us to wrap this thing up and get the heck out of NerdWatch HQ. Want to let you guys know that there's only a couple movies to see on your Blu-ray and DVD list, and that, of course, is Big Hero 6, which is on the Oscars, as well as Whiplash, my favorite movie of the year, the best movie of the year for me. Check that out as well. Those are the only two big Blu-ray releases of the week that you need to see. Want to tell you guys before we get out of here that check us out at Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. Collector J is our collectibles guru. The one and only Professor Barry is our movie maven. And then we have our Format is our game guru, as it were. And Amber is our home video nerd. And they're contributing all of their original content to Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You can read their articles. You can read their reviews. Amber has her picks for the videos of the week that you need to see. And of course, let's not forget her Netflix pick, which was RoboCop this week. She thought it was very, very fun, but she loves the original. So with that in mind, check her out as well. Check us all out, Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. Rate us on our podcast if you listen to us through iTunes. Download the Maui Watch app. You get to listen to us on the go. If you don't have iTunes, you can listen to us through your Android device as well. All right, Collector J, Professor Barry, Foreman, and of course Amber, who's here in spirit, I guess. Have a wonderful week, guys. I hope you guys we'll talk next week about the Avengers. We'll talk the Avengers posters that have come out. We'll talk about some more collectibles that Collector J's got coming in, which, like I've said, cost half of a PS4. That's crazy. It's insane to me.
Not if you multiply it by 8.
That's true. I guess so. It's insane. But that's why we call him the collector. Format, you have any reviews that you're going to be releasing on the Facebook page?
Yeah, there'll be a few that are in the pipe right now.
Fantastic. Your interview of Amakua, the comic book based in Hawaii and out of Hawaii about Hawaiian superheroes, is up on the Facebook page. You need to read it. Professor Barry, you have no movies that you're watching this week. week. So what will you be doing?
I've got two looking back columns on Woody Allen's Match Point and John Singleton's Higher Learning.
I love Match Point, and I haven't seen Higher Learning in forever. I don't remember if that was good or bad. So I definitely can't wait to read that. Collector Jay, other than collecting, will you be doing anything else this week?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of. So just more collecting. Nice, nice.
Other than work. I mean, I got to pay for it somehow.
For all these craziness somehow. All right. Well, boys and girls, nerds and lady nerds, have a wonderful week. We certainly do appreciate your support. We certainly do want to let you know that you are the... how can I say this? You are the...
you're going to try this again?
I'm going to try this one more time. You are the propulsion system in our starship.
Nice.
You are the midichlorians into our Jedi, as it were. And
sounds so dirty.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Just a little bit. That's what you guys are to us, and we really appreciate your support. I want to send a big shout-out to Maui Collectibles, Comics and Collectibles. They opened up a business in Maui here. Please, if you listen to us on Maui, go support them. They're in the Ikaku Center, and it's a place, a great place to nerd out and to remember what it's like to be a collector and remember what it's like to open a comic book. That's very special. So big shout out to Alika Seki and the guys over at Maui Comic Books and Collectibles. Go and support them. And then maybe Collector Jay, maybe you can become a VIP member like Collector Jay is right now, him and his discounts. Look at you.
He said even if once he gets bigger, he'll up the discount price. So right now it's a good 5%, but he said as the store grows in age and size,
so does your discount. Yeah. Wow, look awesome. At you. Look at you.
It does pay to be an early adopter.
It does pay to be an early adopter, fairly so.
But remember, even if you save 5%, it's still 100% more than you had to spend.
That's right.
That's what I tell my wife when it's closed shopping time.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, hon, I don't need socks or underwear, but that comic down at Maui Comic Books and Collectibles that I wanted, that number one, that's what I need. That totally.
Well, it's 5%. I'm gonna pull this from a big picture. I use them 6 times: right side, back side, inside out. Turn them around.
I do that as well. I'm with you on that.
Look, I was actually kidding.
No, on that underwear note.
That's what we're gonna end on.
That's a good one.
Okay.
Listen, multiple underwear usage, it's not a bad thing, is it? Okay, obviously from the silence, we're out of time. Have a wonderful week, boys and girls. We'll be back next week with more nerd news, more nerd culture stuff. We'll talk more about everything that is nerd right here on the Nerd Watch podcast. We certainly do appreciate you guys, and we love your support. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. We'll see you right back here next week. And until then, boys and girls, aloha!